We are navigating through this life together. We are here to grow and to learn, amen, and to be more like the one we love, Jesus. So I pray that the Lord will wake me up inside and that my ears will listen to His voice. I'm going to know you have ears inside you. I'm going to know that still small voice. That's the voice of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, he says. And I chose it as a text this morning, one that you hear me quote quite a bit, but I really want to break it down to you today so there can be a better understanding of this. And it's from Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The message title today is The Evidence of the Kingdom. How many here have evidence that you are citizens of heaven? Is there evidence in your life? Is there fruit, bearing fruit? Lord, we thank you today for the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord, you will just right now move upon every person, every heart, every mind in this place. Open our eyes, open our ears to hear what you're saying, Lord. And we just pray you breathe upon us today. New life. We pray for fresh manna, Lord, fresh bread today from heaven in Jesus' name. When Jesus came to this earth, he came to set up his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. He didn't come to banish the Roman government, which the people would have loved to have happen at that time. But Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this world. And if we are in Christ today, guess what? Our kingdom is not of this world either. That does not mean that we separate ourselves in the sense that we don't have anything to do with the world. How many know that in order for us to be effective, to be disciples, followers of Jesus, we have to follow in His footsteps? And we look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? Does our theology, does our teaching line up with what Jesus taught? Does my life line up with what Jesus modeled? This is our goal, is to be like Jesus. Amen? Amen. He came to set up an eternal kingdom. He came into the natural realm, but he brought in a superior kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And I believe the kingdom of God is also synonymous. If you were to compare the four Gospels, when you hear kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, they're really used depending on who's speaking, whether it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But it's the kingdom of heaven that is at hand, Jesus said, when he showed up. How could he say that? Because he's the king of the kingdom. The king of the kingdom showed up, and he established at that time, he was the seed that was sown into the earth, folks. Amen? And his kingdom reign began at that time. What we are experiencing right now is the kingdom of heaven in the spiritual realm. Amen? Amen? What God wants to do is he wants to spiritualize the natural. Has anybody been spiritualized? A natural man that's touched by the finger of God. Amen? And God lights your lamp and you become illuminated. You become spiritually alive. You become born again. Once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now the light's on. Now I see. So he came to bring in an everlasting kingdom. It began with the seed, and the seed was planted in the earth. Jesus Christ came, amen, to redeem us from the curse. He came to redeem us from our lost condition, our sinful condition. Amen. He didn't come to patch us up. He came to transform mankind. Amen. That the heavenly would overshadow the carnal, the natural. And so what happens is a transformation where we receive a brand new nature. He says he's going to give us a brand new heart. He will take out a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. We receive in the new covenant a new heart. A heart that loves God, a heart that worships God, a heart that desires God, a heart that wants to obey God. Amen? A heart that's in love with God. Because we have a new nature in Christ. We need to learn how to walk out and live in and out of that new nature. And not allow that which was to come back, amen, and rule. But every day put to death the misdeeds of the body. And listen to His voice. So the kingdom of God, He's saying, is not, even though He had fed the multitudes and they were blessed by the presence of the Lord with natural things even at times, He says, you know, it's not about the natural things. It's not about the fishes and the loaves that you ate. Do you not understand? What I'm trying to say to you is that there is something far superior that I am bringing in.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Than just existence in this world. Amen? Just making it from week to week. I know some of us, that's what it can be like, right? It's just surviving, making it from week to week. And in the natural, sometimes that's going to be the cup that you'll have to drink. So God came to this earth in the form of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
God became a man to establish and to start, if you will, His eternal kingdom. The day will come when Jesus shall return in clouds of glory. And He shall reign over all the earth, folks. Heaven is coming to earth. Hallelujah. We are seeing now in spirit, but one day face to face. Now we look through a glass darkly. We don't see the full revelation. We have bits and pieces of revelation and knowledge. Whatever God entrusts to us to have. Amen. God doesn't give you all understanding. He gives each one of us a portion of understanding. God doesn't give to us all of His anointing. He gives each one of us a measure of grace. So that together, as a body, we will build the house of God. We will advance the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When a person is healed by the power of God, the superior supernatural kingdom of God has invaded the natural realm. Amen? And wherever Jesus went, He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Amen? He went about destroying His works. And how many know that that's what we're supposed to be doing? We're not supposed to be promoting His works. We're supposed to be destroying His works. And so because Jesus walked in perfect obedience to the Father, He came into direct confrontation with the world, the flesh, and the devil. God's kingdom, it says here, is a kingdom of righteousness. This is talking about God's righteousness, not our righteousness. Because when we operate in our righteousness, we have a tendency to be proud of ourselves. We have a tendency to compare ourselves with other people. We have a tendency to become judgmental when we are trusting in our own righteousness. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit begins to reveal who we really are sometimes so that we can understand that I'm a mess and I need God's grace? Therefore, I will receive His gift of righteousness. God wants to give you His righteousness. He wants to make you and I righteous. In Christ, we become righteous. Our righteousness is Christ Himself, who His name in Jeremiah 23, I believe in verse 7, it says, His name is the Lord, our righteousness. So He is our wisdom. He is our holiness. He's our Redeemer. Amen? He's our righteousness. My faith, my trust is not in my ability to perform well enough for God to like me more. We were already lost in sin till Jesus came in. And He dealt with the sin problem. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, "It is finished." The price for sin had been paid. And then he had to go and take care of business. Amen?
Amen.
And take back what the devil had stolen from the first Adam. When he arose, hallelujah, he rose victorious from the grave. And he says, I am he, amen, who was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell and the grave. Hallelujah. He has overcome the world. Jesus Christ, our great high priest, exalted in the heavens. There is a man in heaven. Hallelujah. He is a God-man. He is God and he is man, so that he can represent and rule over the affairs of the earth. He is the head over the church in the earth realm, folks. We don't operate and move independently of his headship. Are you with me? We don't go about doing our own thing and thinking that we're pleasing God or serving God. We go in obedience to his voice. When we obey our commander, amen, we are walking in his righteousness. We can be involved in good things, but they can be wrong things because they're coming from the wrong source. The devil will get you preoccupied with good things. It's not always a nasty thing. At first, he presents something that looks good and appealing. Otherwise, it wouldn't be tempting. If he came right up and said, hey, have a shot of poison. It's like, get out of here, man. You crazy? We said, have a glass of clean, pure, refreshing water. And you know what? If God were to offer you living water, I'd say, bring it on, Lord. But the devil's a counterfeiter, and what he wants to do is he wants you simply to receive from him. He wants you to listen to his voice. What he offered Jesus in the wilderness temptations were not bad things. It was from the wrong source. Simply to yield to another master, to listen to the wrong voice, is to fall out of alignment with the Father. Amen? And so God's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. And notice in chapter 14 of Romans, verse 17, it talks about in this order, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many know that you cannot have real peace without first having righteousness? Being in right standing with God. Amen? And righteousness and peace produces joy. But there are those who are trying to have peace and trying to have joy without the righteousness. That shouldn't have been too deep, right? All right. In Romans 5 and verse 17, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, that was through Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one. Who's that? The last Adam, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:21. So as sin reigned in death through the transgression of the first man, Adam, even so grace might reign through righteousness. This is the righteousness of God to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now if you look up that word righteousness, it means equity or justification. How many know it's God who justifies us, not we ourselves? It's not the grace that we give ourselves, folks. It's the grace that he gives that justifies us. We're good at giving ourselves grace. Making excuses. Spinning things. Instead of taking responsibility for our actions, we want to spin it. And give ourselves grace and, well, look how good I am, though. Yeah, I know God tells me not to do that, but look at all the good I'm doing. As if there's some kind of scale, you know, if the good outweighs the bad. No, what needs to happen is you need to come under authority. You need to submit yourself to God, and you need to receive His righteousness. Because your righteousness is not going to cut it. If we could, by our own works and actions, be righteous before God, then the cross would have been unnecessary. Jesus had to pay the price for our sins because we could not save ourselves. Are you with me today? So what's happened? When Jesus showed up, this kingdom of righteousness invaded the kingdom of sin and death. And so he came into direct confrontation with the world. That is that system that is in rebellion to the rule of God. It is an invisible kingdom, if you will, of darkness. What they call the world in the scriptures is called cosmos. And so the confrontation began when Jesus showed up with the world. And then guess what? Dealing with the flesh. Has anybody ever struggled in your flesh before? The flesh is that sin nature that we're born with. When Jesus Christ came and he began to speak the truth began to confront our fleshly desires, and we began to cower under the light and say, "Woe is me." As Isaiah said, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." And when he saw God's holiness, he is truth, folks, God's holiness. When he saw it, he's like, "I'm undone, man. I'm a wretch." He thought he was going to be destroyed. And so when the Word of God came in the type of a man, amen, in Jesus Christ, when he spoke the Word, truth came and it touched the flesh nature of the human being.